show, which is what it was. It was pretty incredible to realize that that had the kind of appeal that it obviously did.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the whole thing. I thought it was fun. I thought it was exactly what you want for a West Coast Friday night. I didn't understand people who were uncomfortable with it. It to me, it was a whole lot of fun. All right, I see the man coming this way.
Joe, we are approacheth.
At Joe Madden's Respect 90 Try Not to Suck Golf Classic. I'm going to let Connor and Groats go.
Okay.
And I'm going to get in here so that I can talk with the man himself. Yeah, we're doing a little bit of jostling here. And by the way, you are listening to WSCR HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, a radio.com sports station. Hey, Tony, guess what? Joe's here. Let's go.
I made it.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to two on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
I'm here about the business. Ain't that right, Joe?
Joe Madden.
Which Cub wears the most cologne?
There's some guys, man, that when you if you give them a hug or whatever, it's almost like you can't even go see your wife right after that. She's going to be suspicious. I mean, some of these dudes really.
Manager for the Chicago Cubs.
You're trying to pull yourself into thinking that the oatmeal raisin is healthy. That's what people try to do. It's not.
Joe, overrated though?
Yes, they're overrated, Tony.
Oh, my God, overrated. Peanut butter. Whoa. Way at the top of the list.
Hey, I learned a lot from watching Joe.
Joe Madden with Lawrence Holmes on 670 The Score.
Okay, nice.
I've learned a lot from Joe Madden, too, and he is here with me. We are at his Respect 90 Try Not to Suck Golf Celebrity Classic, and he's here. El Hombre is in the house. What's up, man?
How you doing, brother? Nice to see you. Long day yesterday in the homeland back in Pennsylvania. Great day for us, but really wonderful to be here today for this very special golf tournament.
That's where I wanted to start. How special was yesterday?
Yeah, listen, it's one of those things you got to actually live to understand. Of course, we know the Little League World Series is played in Williamsport. I've known that forever. I grew up about an hour away from there. But when you actually get there and you get off the plane and you walk down that little ramp and there's kids everywhere, man, in all different kinds of uniforms. The Italian team was there too, which Rizzo, where's Rizzo? That's all they wanted to know. It was outstanding. So you get involved with the kids right away and the bus takes you to the campus where this all happens. And that's what you got to see in person. On TV, you get to see the field, which is outstanding, but there's layers of fields there and there's a tremendous dorm there. They call it the Grove, where it's just kids and coaches and no parents involved. God, did I love hearing that. So there was all this stuff going on there, and it's multi-layered, it's respect, it's discipline, it's all those things. And then we got to play last night on a minor league field, which is really near and dear to my heart, a 2,600 seat stadium, Bowman Field. Beautiful, really well done. And of course we played well. So from 10:15 we got on the bus yesterday morning to, I think I got back, we got back to Chicago to our apartment, Jay and I, about 2 o'clock in the morning, which is 3 o'clock body time. So it was a great day.
You took the trip down the hill?
I did. I did that. That was really reminiscent of sleigh riding. We used to go down in a car hood down the alley, man. And it was really cool when you see like five or six kids in a car hood spinning down a hill and they hit a telephone pole and like kids would be flying. I mean, there was video, like if your mom, like your beanie was standing there with like an iPhone back in the day, my God, that you talk about something going viral on social media.
And speaking of viral on social media, your first pitch.
Yeah, it was awful. It was awful.
What happened?
Well, I listen, I'm not going to make excuses. I needed to warm up, and I didn't. And I'm not as good once as I ever was. It's apparent right there.
It was still fun, though. I enjoyed the banter between you and the catcher and
yeah,
everything.
Yeah, well, I got to throw. But the third one got there. I mean, that's, you know, three times. It's a charm of sorts. No, the first one, man, it's... The shoulder's not really what it had been. That's really what it comes down to.
Okay, all right. Well, let's talk a little bit about today. The Respect 90 Foundation, the tournament is going on. How excited are you about all the people that have come out to be a part of it?
We are very excited. And I was just telling the group over there, I mean, this is, what, how many years, 3 or 4 years we're out here right now? And I feel like, you know, part of the fabric finally. When you first come here the first time, with all the folks that are from this area that have been here, really real Cub fans, you feel like you deserve this or not. I mean, these folks here are really sincerely into it, and now I feel like I'm one of them. And that's wonderful. Like walking out here today, a lot of familiar faces. You look at them, you say, hi, you know, how's it going? Remember, I don't remember all the names all the time, but definitely the faces from the last couple years of support is outstanding. Jerry Lasky does a wonderful job putting this thing together on a beautiful golf course on top of that. Benefits Respect 90. Listen, we are very grateful for this opportunity.
All right, a little bit of baseball here, sure. Joe, and I'm going to let you go and swing the sticks a little bit. How good does it feel coming home after winning a road series? It's felt like for forever.
It has been difficult, and it's just one. We got to do more of that, but of course it feels good. We actually played well enough to win several in Philadelphia, gave a couple up there, and then the first game in Pittsburgh also. It's just been something about the road, and road at night's really been our bane. We got to figure that part of our schedule out. Because there's nothing different about the prep and how we get ready. And like we've done the last several years where we've been very successful, we got to stay with it. For me, situations like this, if you relent to it, then eventually you'll never overcome it. We're not going to relent to it. We've talked about it. You need to talk about it openly and say, oh, no, it's no big deal. It is a big deal. We got to do better on the road. So we got it done on this particular trip. Our guys are fully invested. We come home for about a week right now. Then we got to go play the Mets in New York, and they've gotten a lot better too. So it's something that it's almost like it's a product of your will. I really believe that. You can't take more batting practice. You can't take infield whatever. It's a product of your will. You really want to get it done more than the other team does in a particular moment, and that's what it takes.
Starting pitching on the road has been pretty good in Quintana. My goodness, we talked about him last week, but he keeps giving you dominant performances.
He's reinvented himself a bit. You saw the curveball last night and the changeup last night. Earlier on, and even when we first got him, I thought he was just like way too fastball oriented. And when he's able to mix in that curveball strike and then curveball chase and the changeup with a good arm stroke, the fastball becomes even better. So, and listen, if you knew the guy, you'd really understand it. This guy works so sincerely hard. He's the best teammate in the world. Everybody loves to see his success, and he's earned it. But I think the primary difference is curveball command and the utilization of the changeup.
Do you think that it's changed the way the scouting reports look for him now?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You just can't go up there sitting on one thing. And not only that, like the two-seamer on the inside edge where the righties back off the plate and it becomes a strike, that's a devastating pitch. Whether a righty can throw it to a lefty or a lefty can throw it to a righty, that pitch right there could be a great equalizer. It makes the plate so much wider. It gives the hitter so many more things to think about. And he's at that juncture in his career right now.
And Darvish, too, yeah. where you've been expecting this turn of a corner of you, Darvish, and now it's almost like when watching on television, his confidence seems to be sky high. What's it look like from ground level?
Same. Listen, he is so in the moment right now. He is just getting the ball, and he's pitching. He's not overthinking it whatsoever. He's so confident.
I guess that means that we're taking off or something.
I think that's shotgun start. That tells the golfers to begin, and it's breaking our eardrums. Oh, there we go. Okay.
All right. So I guess we're ready to start.
I think they just get a shotgun next time.
You know, when I was a sports anchor for a little while for the NBC affiliate here, and we had a fire alarm go off during a broadcast. Similar to that.
Yeah. It's kind of annoying, actually, with this headset on. But back to Darvish. Darvish right now, command of his fastball. He's got a variety of different speeds off of his breaking ball, and the splitter's back. His splitter is a devastating pitch. Wow. And not many people throw that anymore. It's a tough pitch to command, and he commands it. He can throw for a strike, which most people cannot do. So he's got everything going on right now. His confidence cannot be higher. And like I said before, I don't know if anybody's actually pitching better than he is in the National League right now.
On the broadcast last night, Riz was mic'd up. Yep. And he took the home run ball, and he was going to give it to one of the kids from the Japanese team. Okay. I thought that was cool because he had Darvish go and translate for him. And you've been saying how, you know, you want him to feel like he's more a part of the team. I thought that was a really cool moment.
Yeah, Riz was explaining that to me. I did not understand that's what he was talking about. He said something about you translated for me because I missed the moment. So I was standing there. Probably had my head buried.
You're probably managing a baseball
exactly.
game.
So then, well, you know, Riz, we talk all the time during the game, but he said something about you translating. Now I get it. You definitely feels part of the group. He's integrated himself extremely well. I'm telling you, he had a tough year last year, but if you get to know this guy, he's very bright. He thinks things through. His son's one of the best players in Chicago right now. I think he's 11 or 12 years of age. He's a great little baseball player and just drips with respect and self-discipline. The kid's outstanding. And I told you, I said, just by meeting your kid, it tells me a lot about you.
The way that the game went offensively for you guys, were you looking for the opportunity to try and get Holland some confidence and Kimbrel some reps?
All the above. Yeah, I wanted to get Derek out there. Listen, the other day he gave up that home run, and I saw the replay of the pitch. It was actually inside. I mean, Harper just got to it, and he's pretty good, and he beat us on that particular night. Derek's pitched really well for us. He's thrown the ball really well for us. And, yes, the plan was to get Kimbrel in there. He was going to save if it got to that save moment, but in a perfect world, as it worked out last night, he got about 15 pitches. We wanted to keep him right there and also wanted to get Pedro back out there. So all the boxes were checked last night. It worked out extremely well, and now you got a day off, and by tomorrow, everybody's going to be ready to rock and roll.
So Kimbrel's full go now that you've gotten that out of the way, that you feel comfortable putting him in ninth inning, high leverage?
Yeah, we're going to do it last night. A really good conversation with him. This guy's done it for a while. When you work with players that have done it for a while like he has, you respect and trust them. You listen to them. And when he talks to you earnestly, he told me that I'm ready to go. I feel great. And his stuff was really good. He gave up the home run to Marte. Marte just guessed. Of course, he's going to guess first pitch fastball, and he got it. And the kid could hit a fastball. But after that, his stuff was electric. Even the curveball that hit the Cole in the foot, Tucker in the foot, that was, he actually swung at that, and the umpire didn't call it. So his stuff was pretty electric last night.
I want to ask you a little bit about Nick Castellanos, and I know that we discussed him last week, but it just seems like he does so much for your lineup, and that in days where maybe the rest of the guys are struggling, he doesn't seem to struggle since he's been here.
He always throws out a good at-bat. I mean, there's times he's chased on occasion like everybody else, but he's throwing out more good at-bats than anybody. A couple of games ago, we had that bad game, Kyle's game in Philadelphia. And I took everybody out but him. So he came standing next to me before his next at-bat, and I said, how you doing, man? He said, listen, I'm fine. He says, I want to play all nine innings here because by getting one more hit, I get one more hit closer to 3,000. And he doesn't just say that. This kid really believes this stuff. Before every game, he looks at me in the eyeballs. We do the fist bump, and he says, happy opening day. He treats every day like it's opening day. What a wonderful way to go through your Major League Baseball life, because that's what happens sometimes. You forget what it's like when you show up for the very first day and what that feels like. And if there's a way you could even trick yourself into recapturing those moments, do it.
For the Cub fan that's in their car or at their desk right now, and they hear you talk about professional at-bats, when you say in a professional at-bat, what do you mean?
I mean have an organized strike zone. Ben Zobrist is a perfect example of that. I like when a guy really organizes a strike zone. You're going to chase on occasion, but for the most part, you're not chasing. If you look at the scoreboard and you see a guy's on-base percentage being 75 to 100 points better than his batting average, that's pretty much a really good professional hitter right there. Being that he'll accept his walks. Whatever his strikeouts indicate, that's probably how much he's supposed to strike out. And every other number is reflective of him as an offensive player. When that number gets to like 50 points higher or less than that, the guy's got more room to grow. Now, Javi's an exception sometimes because he could hit, he's like Vladimir Guerrero. He's dangerous even on pitches outside the zone. They always talked about Yogi Berra being a good bad ball hitter. There's very few of those dudes out there, man. There's very few of those. So you got to keep an organized strike zone. Make the pitcher come over the plate, and that's what we need. I mean, for the rest of the season, how does our offense get hot? Really organize our strike zone, force pitchers over the plate more consistently, and we'll beat up on some folks.
It was August 8th, the last time Tyler Chatwood had pitched. You had put him in a super high leverage situation, yes. And he did well. Does that mean that you would consider putting him in more high leverage situations?
Of course. His own valuableness is really holds him back because we're always holding him back for like that 10th inning, you know,
extra for length.
Right, or the 5th or 6th inning. And then once his role is gone away, whether it's early in the game and if we never occur in the latter part of the game, now you got, like I said, Kinsler back, Kimbrel back, Stropey's in there, Cishek's on his way back, Rowan Wick is really ascendant, Kyle Ryan has done a wonderful job. So there's a lot going on there to get people involved. The other day, Chatty, talking to Tommy Hotovy, he's telling me how well he's been throwing on the side. And it was just that moment. I wanted to try something differently. And he nailed down those first two. And he sent him out for the third one. And when he walked hit on four straight pitches, and then Wick came in and finished it off. But that's what Chatwood's capable of doing. One of those fastballs was 98, and none of the Pirates had good swings.
Joe, I'm going to let you get on the golf course because everyone is here to see you. This is great. Thanks for bringing me out here. I appreciate this. This is going to be a lot of fun for me to see everyone ride by. And Coombe was here earlier. He was talking about how he was going to be hitting them. And Jim DeShays was here. Yep. A lot of good folks are here.
Mark Loretta showed up also. Tyler Chatwood was going to come out, but I'll tell you, that was a pretty late arrival, so he may not have made it. But I do appreciate the boys showing. And thank you for getting out of the office and coming on out here, man.
No, it's pretty nice. They get a nice breeze going. People get to see me on the camera and all that good stuff.
It's good stuff, man.
We're both wearing Chicago flag hats. Mine's like a different interpretation of it.
Shit right now.
And so we both, I was like, oh, Joe and I were like, we're totally locked in with each other right now. It's amazing.
I had this made specifically online for this moment. So here we go.
My man. Well, thank you. Go out there. Have a great day, Lawrence, on the course.
Thanks, Lawrence.
It's great to see you, as always. That is Cubs manager Joe Madden. I need to take a time out. If you want to talk a little Cubs with me, 312-644-6767 is the number. I'm Lawrence Holmes. You're listening to The Score.
The Bears continue their preparation for Game 1 of the regular season versus Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. And here at The Score, we're continuing to report on their progress with breaking Bears news, injury updates, Mark Grody and Chris Emma's live reports from Hallis Hall, and of course, our unmatched team of Bears experts. So keep it here, Bears fans. We are Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's home for Bears fans.
This is John Feinstein with a CBS Sports Minute sponsored by Wendy's. Crazy about bacon? Then you gotta get to Wendy's because no one does bacon like Wendy's. Jack Whitaker, who died yesterday at the age of 95, lived one of the most remarkable lives of the past century. Whitaker was a decorated World War II veteran, wounded at Normandy, and went on to become one of the best play-by-play men of his generation, calling NFL games, including Super Bowl I for CBS, and all the major golf tournaments. He was just a little too accurate for the Augusta Green Jackets, who banned him in 1966 after he referred to the mob around the 18th green. Truth apparently hurts. What made Whitaker unique in broadcasting, though, were the eloquent essays he did for ABC, often live just seconds after the conclusion of an event. The words somehow always coming out exactly right. He was the best and a better person than broadcaster. I'm John Feinstein.
Nobody.
I needed new blinds. I knew I could save a ton of money if I put them in myself, but I was nervous about measuring right and then installing them. That's why I went to Blinds.com. I'd heard their ads on the radio, how they're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings, but I still had to install them. So I called in my design consultant, Carla. She talked me through it all, from picking the right blinds to installing them. Plus, the online design consultation was free. Samples were free. Shipping was free. My home looks perfect.
You don't have to pay high-end prices to give your home a high-end look. Transform any room today with brand new blind shades and shutters from Blinds.com. With over 30,000 five-star customer reviews, it's no surprise Blinds.com is America's number one choice for custom window treatments. Go to Blinds.com now through August 21st for their limited-time flash sale to save up to 40%, plus save an extra $20 at Blinds.com with promo code USA. Blinds.com, promo code USA. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What's the difference between good and great? Good tells you why they're better. Great proves it every day. At Great Clips, greatness isn't just in our name, it's in everything we do. From our highly skilled stylists, to saving your haircut details and clip notes, to saving you time with online check-in. Getting your haircut at Great Clips means never having to settle for good enough again. And with over 4,000 salons across the U.S. and Canada, it's easy to find a Great Clips location near you. Download our online check-in app today. Great Clips. It's gonna be great.
Vacation voucher and maximum tax deduction. 1-877 Also accepting boats, motorcycles, RVs, and real estate donations.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's #1, #2 employee. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's you, Jamie.